Dig A Bit, a podcast for women who want to dig into the meat of God's Word for a bit. We are glad you have taken a few minutes out of your day to listen. Our host is Cindy Colley from thecolleyhouse.org. Now grab your Bible and let's dig in.
In Matthew 4, we read about the temptation of Jesus as Satan came to him after he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was very hungry. He was in a weakened physical state, obviously. But the passage says Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. His purpose for being there was to be tempted and overcome temptation and obey so that he could become the mediator between God and man. It says, then when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In our study this month from Matthew 4, we were to highlight the passages that shows Christ's dependence on the law, on what is written for his own obedience. See if you can find a New Testament passage that tells us how Jesus himself did learn obedience. We look at the temptation of Jesus, the first very clear passage. There are three of them, which say, it is written. Jesus quoted the old law in order to overcome the advances, the temptations of the devil, and to obey our God so he could become the perfect mediator. Verse 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So obviously you marked verse 4 as one of those passages in Matthew 4 that shows us the dependence of Jesus on the Word. But did you ever notice that the actual quote of Jesus is about our dependence on the Word? Man doesn't survive. He doesn't exist. He doesn't sustain his life by physical bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I am not a Greek scholar, but those who are tell me that that proceeds there means is still proceeding, continues to proceed from the mouth of God. The word is living. It continues to be the Word of God that we sustain our spiritual, by which we sustain our spiritual lives. So not only did Jesus say it is written, but he quoted a verse that says we are completely dependent. Just like our physical lives depend upon bread, we're completely dependent on the Word of God. The second verse that you probably marked as we read on down, the devil took him up into a holy city, verse 5, and set him on the top of the temple, the pinnacle, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil quoted scripture here, but he quoted it out of context. Then Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. From verse 7, we can clearly see that there is a way, verses 6 and 7, there's a way to misuse scripture. And there will never be a passage in the Bible that will contradict God's clear commandments for us. Jesus was saying in verse 7, what is written in commandments, in clear commandments, trumps any misuse of a passage. If we find a passage in God's Word that seems to contradict a clear commandment, we better go with the clear commandment and obey God unquestioningly. And then we read on down, again, the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. The devil asked Jesus to worship him. The gall. When you look at that, you just think, wow, really? Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What he's saying here is that life, the Savior's life, our lives, his life, Jesus' life, was a constant fulfillment of commandments of God. His life was a constant service to God, verse 14. And then in verse 23 of that chapter, we know that the temptation ended with that third one. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto our Lord. And then in verse 23, we see another evidence that Jesus was dependent on the Word. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So he spent large amounts of time teaching the Word of God, preaching in their synagogues the gospel of the kingdom. So for us, from Matthew 4, we learn some very important truths that will help us to be submissive and obedient, finding the escape that comes. Jesus escaped, obviously, the devil's temptation. So what can we learn from his escape in this chapter? Well, first, we need to quote Scripture in the face of temptation. That will be the number one way that we do battle with the devil. I can think of Old Testament passages over and over in which the heroes of faith quoted Scripture in order to escape the temptations that were being thrown at them. God has said this, and therefore, this is what I'm going to do. The prophets are major examples of that. And then secondly, we learn that commands are paramount. Commands that are specifically spelled out in the Word, commands that are clearly written for our obedience, are paramount in the Word. There will never be a passage of Scripture that will successfully contradict a commandment, a clear commandment of God as written in Scripture. Thus, we must especially pay attention to the commandments of God. The next truth is that we are constantly to fulfill that Word in our lives. That's what Jesus said in verse 14. His life was a constant fulfillment of that Word. In that particular passage, he says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So that's when Jesus left Nazareth, and he came and dwelt in Capernaum, and he did so that it might be fulfilled. And we see those words, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, over and over and over in the life of Jesus. His life was a constant fulfillment of the Word of God. Our lives are not a fulfillment in the same sense that Jesus' life was. There aren't Old Testament prophecies specifically about where Cindy Colley would be born or where Cindy Colley would die or the mission of Cindy Colley's life. But at the same time, we are to be searching the Scriptures and making our lives a constant fulfillment of the prophecies that had to do with Christianity. You know, my people will be called by a new name. And we are those people. And so we are constantly fulfilling the commands and prophecies of both the Old and the New Testament, the prophecies of the Old Testament, the commands of the New Testament, and then the prophecies that are in the book of Revelation about heaven are for us. We are living so that we can constantly fulfill those prophecies about the absence of tears, the absence of sorrow, the absence of death. We are living, and our purpose is so that we can in eternity fulfill even those prophecies about heaven around the throne with our Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then verse 23, Jesus spent large amounts of time teaching the gospel. So should we. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. We should be spending time evangelizing. Somebody asked me just this week, let's see what the question was. It was, how do I develop a meek spirit? That was the question. I think this was in a discussion on Facebook. And as I examined that, how do I have a meek spirit? My best answer was to just get to the business of evangelizing. Meek spirit is the spirit that draws us to be submissive to God and obey Him. That is what a meek spirit is. It's having a cause that's bigger than me, and so I'm submitting fully and completely to that cause. So how do I develop that spirit? I'm telling you what, if you get busy teaching people the gospel, you will soon feel so very small beside the cross. You will see that your mission in talking to people about the cross and the salvation that they can obtain by it is so huge, so infinitely more important than your short time here on this earth, that you will have a meek spirit before the cause for which we're living and for which we will one day, if called upon to do so, die. We want to die in the Lord, and that cause for which we're living will be magnified in our eyes when we start sharing the gospel with people and realizing that we can, through the gospel, impact eternity, even as small as we are. And that is the development of the spirit of meekness. So, obedience from Matthew chapter 4. We quote the Bible in the face of temptation. We realize that specific commands that are clearly written in the Word are paramount and must be obeyed. We are constantly fulfilling the Word in our lives. People should be able to see that there is a text that rules our decisions, our personalities, our interaction, our relationships. There's a text. There is a narrative that we are following. It's not a narrative that belongs to the culture around us, but it is the narrative that we find in the Word of God that continues to proceed, to live as it comes from His mouth. And then we spend time evangelizing, realizing that the only two things that exist now and will exist 100 years from now for Cindy Colley, for you, the only two things are the people around us, the souls, my soul and your soul, and the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So souls and the Word of God are the two tangible things that we know now that will exist throughout eternity. So really, isn't that all that matters? Isn't that all that matters is my relationship, your relationship with the Word? That will call us, that reality will call us to meekness, to the spirit that says, I'm going to escape from the devil's temptations by being in the Word, adhering to the Word, obeying the Word of God. The last part of that question said, see if you can find a New Testament passage that tells us how Jesus Himself learned obedience. I hope you found Hebrews 5, I believe it's verse 8, which says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus was deity. He was the Son of God. He had never had to submit to authority really before because he was God himself. He was present at creation, and he was the volunteer to come to this earth and give his life for the implementation of the scheme of redemption for all of us. So when we think about Jesus, we think about ultimate authority. All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He had the authority to tell us to do that and anything else, but he learned voluntarily obedience by the things which he suffered. So it was that cross suspended between heaven and earth where he suffered that really did put a savior, a mediator between heaven and earth. It is that which perfected him, made him complete as God and man. It made him complete to be the author of our eternal salvation. Being made perfect He became the author of eternal salvation. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
If you find yourself in Huntsville, Alabama, we'd love for you to worship with us at West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest. Sunday morning worship begins at 9 a.m., followed by Bible classes for all ages. We meet again at 5 p.m. for evening worship and at 7 on Wednesday night. Dig a Bit is a production of Digging Deep in God's Word, a Bible study for women. For more information, visit thecolleyhouse.org.